This morning we're going to start what the first part of two lessons regarding giving. And this first lesson we want to focus on God as a gift giver. And then next week we're going to look at ourselves and look at our response to God and how we are to give as a result of His giving. And of course, we just had the contribution a little bit ago, and we sang the song, "I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me?" And that makes us think sometimes when we think about the sacrifice that Christ made, and we think about how much God loved us, that He would give His own Son for us. And we think about what a giver God truly is. We want to look then at a few verses that express some things about God and about His nature as a giver. Before we begin, again, we want to welcome our visitors. We want to encourage you to fill out a visitor's card so that we can have a record of your attendance with us, and be sure to give that to us. We want you to know that we have many services available for visitors. We have, of course, many tracts and other literature available, computer discs and DVDs and all sorts of things available if you'd like to have more information about the Bible. We also would be glad to study with you and sit down with you together in your home or in one of our homes or here at the building or anywhere you'd like. We'll go to the park if you want to and study the Bible with you so that we can come to a better understanding of it together. We want always to study God's Word and understand it more and more as we go through our lives. The scripture that was read to us from 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15 is a very interesting scripture, because here Paul has been talking about giving. He's been encouraging in chapter 8 their generosity. And again in chapter 9, he is talking to them about sowing generously, giving generously. And down toward the end then of this section, in fact, the last thing that he says before he goes into another topic about defending his own ministry and his own work as an apostle, the last thing he says is a reminder to them about what God has done for them. He said, if all of these other things, you know, that I've been saying down through here, if that wasn't enough, let me just add this last point. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And Xander has a little tape that has a lot of Bible verses like this put to song, and this is one of them. And we were talking about it in the car one day, and he said, "Daddy, what does that mean, an unspeakable gift?" And I said, "Well, what does unspeakable mean?" He said, "Well, it means you can't say it. It's unspeakable." And I said, "Well, didn't Paul just say it? Didn't he just talk about the gift?" And he said, "Yeah, what's that mean? How did he say it if it's unspeakable?" Well, perhaps a better translation of that particular word might be indescribable. It's just a gift so incredible, so amazing, that we can't wrap our human minds around it. And that we can't truly understand just what it was that God gave. And we're going to look at and describe to the best of the ability of our human language this indescribable, this unspeakable gift, unimaginable gift that God gave us. But Paul says, thanks be to God for this gift. This indescribable, unspeakable gift that He has given us. You know, as we think about gifts, I just had a birthday and didn't get any. So, you know, I guess you know you're getting old when nobody gives you gifts on your birthday anymore. Didn't even get a card from my own parents, you know, that kind of thing. But when we have birthdays and anniversaries or graduations, and you know, we have all sorts of holidays, Christmas and all sorts of other times that we give gifts. There's Valentine's Day, and I'm surprised they haven't started gift giving on the 4th of July yet. They always giving gifts for every occasion. we think about those opportunities as occasions to celebrate and give a gift to someone. Or maybe, certainly as younger people, we think about the opportunity to celebrate and get a gift. I remember the first time when actually I was more excited about giving somebody a gift than getting one. And that was a turning point in my life. You know, and I was probably 13 or 14, and I had picked out just the best gift in the whole wide world for my dad for Christmas. And I thought, oh, I get to give a gift. You know, isn't that what Jesus said? And the Bible refers to it, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the Gospels don't record Him saying that. But we are told that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. When we're little, we don't understand that. We think getting is the best that there is. And certainly, we still love to get a gift. It's a wonderful experience. But the giving of a gift, especially when it's a wonderful gift, when it's a perfect gift, that's the opportunity that we have to give and for it to be appreciated and for it to be just the gift that was needed under the circumstances. And that's one of the things that makes the gift of Christ such a spectacular gift, is it was just what we needed. In order for us to learn how to be better givers, we need to look at the author of giving, the first giver, the one who gave us life, the one who gave us a world to live in, the one who gave us all of the things that we see around us, all of those things that some people get to the point where they even worship those things. But those things were all given by someone even greater than us, greater than those things themselves. Of course, that gift giver is God. He's the expert gift giver. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. He's the expert. He can give gifts better than anybody else. And He always knows how to give just the right gift. Have you ever gotten a gift and you were disappointed? You said, you know, that wasn't what I wanted. Have you ever given a gift and the person was disappointed? No, they didn't want that. You know, you got the four-year-old the encyclopedia and they, you know, what's this? What am I going to do with this? You know, we've all done that. We've all made a mistake and given the wrong gift. God never does that. He's an expert. He always gives the right gift. 2 Peter, verse 1 and verse 3, the Bible tells us that God has given all things that pertain to life and godliness. I mean, you think about it. In another place, Paul asks the question, what do you have that you did not receive? When he writes to the Corinthians, he asks them the question, what do you have that you did not receive? Anybody, what do you have that you didn't receive? Nothing. And so he goes on to say, well, if you received it, then why are you acting like you didn't receive it? Why are you acting like you're the one that made it and got it and deserved it somehow, that somehow it served? Everything that we have was given to us in one way or another by someone. Well, I work my job hard and I earn my paycheck. Yeah, who gave you the ability to do that? Why, you didn't develop that ability on your own. God gave you those abilities, whether you work with your mind or whether you work with your physical body and use your strength, God gave you that ability. And then someone else trained you to be able to use that strength or that mind to do that task. Somebody gave you that ability. Somebody gave you the training necessary. So why are we all haughty and arrogant like we did something? What do you have that you weren't given? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul specifically says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So not only does he give just good gifts in general, like the sunshine and the rain and the seasons and the, you know, the plants for food and the animals for food and air to breathe. You know, not only those things, but in Christ, he even gives some even more special blessings. Some special blessings that aren't available outside of Christ. But he gives even more. Even more special things. As we understand God as a gift giver, then we should learn to be more appreciative of God, and we need to be more conscious of ourselves and what we owe to Him and what He deserves, because He first gave to us. But let's talk about that indescribable gift a little bit. We want to look at a few points. All of these are going to begin with the letter P. I'm somewhat partial to the letter P because my last name begins with a P, I suppose. That and the fact that there are a lot of good words in the English language that start with P for describing things. But we're going to talk about that indescribable gift as best we can. We're going to point out a few things about it. First of all, it was a prepared gift. It wasn't just a spur of the moment, oops, oh, time to give a gift. Let me see what I rummage around here and see what I can find. We've all been there. Oh, so-and-so's birthday's today. I better, my anniversary was today. I got to find something. I'm going to be in trouble. And we've been there. Last-minute shoppers. Had to get something right away. And when we do that, a lot of times we don't get the best gift, do we? Well, that's the wonderful thing about God giving His own Son. It was a prepared gift. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us about this gift, and that this gift was foreordained. In other words, it was already prepared. It had already been decided on before the foundation of the world. So for some 4,000 years before the gift was given, God had prepared it. It's a good thing it wasn't something perishable. It would have spoiled. But He knew. He had the perfect gift, and He had prepared it. So He prepared this gift. You know, we need to understand that as well. Preparation is important. It's an important part of giving any gift. You know, many times when a man is going to propose to a woman, or I suppose nowadays maybe sometimes the women propose to the men. I don't know. Ruth did it, so there's some precedence for that. But you know, when there's a proposal to be made, a lot of time is put into, how am I going to do this? I'm preparing. I'm going to give them a diamond ring that's worth a lot of money, and I'm going to offer to be married to them and offer for them to be married. You know, want that offer to be received well. I got to prepare for this. How am I going to do it? And a lot of people come up with a lot of different ideas. Some of them are good. Some of them flop horribly. Sometimes the person says yes. Sometimes they say no. But they think about it ahead of time in order to be successful. And the same way with God. He prepared. Preparation is always an important part. Preparation shows the recipient has been considered, and their needs have been taken into account. What if God had chosen to give a sacrifice that only would have covered 500 people? Sins. Wow. And you know, it's odd that I say that, because there are some religious groups that believe that there are only 144,000 who are going to be saved. Would God have prepared from before the foundation of the world a gift that was only going to be good for 144,000 of the billions and billions of people who have lived on this earth? I mean, there are 6 billion people on earth right now. And that's not counting all the people that have lived in the past. Would God give a gift that's not going to be good for everybody? What kind of preparation would that be? That'd be pretty lousy preparation, wouldn't it? Now, obviously, we're limited. And when we give a gift, you know, only to a few people, because we can't afford to give a gift to everybody. But God gave a gift for everyone because he considered the needs of the recipient. They told Mary, the angel was sent from God to tell Joseph and Mary about the coming of their child that she would have. And they told Joseph that Mary would bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a gift. But God had prepared for it. In fact, he had prepared for it by telling us about it even ahead of time. It was a promised gift, secondly. It was promised. Not only did he prepare it, but he told everybody how he was preparing it. It was promised. We often talk about the prophecies of Christ. For hundreds of years before Christ came, the prophets told and told again about his coming. Details. Such minute details about the coming of the Christ. Verses 22 and 23 of Matthew chapter 1 implies something about God's gift in this regard. They say, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. It's prophesied about the virgin that was going to bear a child. Told about hundreds of years before it happened. God's gift indeed was a promised gift. Again and again, his prophets told about it. It wasn't a secret. You know, we think some of the best secrets are, some of the best gifts are the secrets, the surprises. We have a surprise gift for somebody. We have a surprise party for somebody. But God knew that the best gift would be the one that was anticipated. Now, the reason we don't usually do that is because if we build up the anticipation before the gift, there's a letdown when they actually get the gift. Because it wasn't as good as they were hoping it would be. But God knew that because this was an unspeakable, indescribable gift, there was no way that he could build it up beyond what it was able to fulfill. There was no way that he was going to brag about this coming gift to the point where when it came, people would be, "Oh, well, I thought you meant you had something special for us." He wasn't going to have that reaction. Now, some people didn't understand the gift. We see that in the life of Christ. They didn't realize. But it's because of their lack of understanding. It wasn't because of any weakness in the gift. The gift itself is an incredible gift. But it was promised. On the day of Pentecost, Peter referred to David's prophecy. But David speaks concerning him, that being Christ. "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." Now David died never getting to see that gift, as did Abraham, Moses, Joshua. You know, you go on down through the list. All of those prophets of old and all of those people in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to that gift. Remember, it had been promised all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. About the serpent and the seed of woman who is going to crush the serpent's head. Wow. All the way back there. And so all these people were looking forward to the gift. And David says, "My soul rests, my flesh rather shall rest in hope." What hope? Well, he knew that even after he died, his flesh, his body, was going to be resting in the hope of a resurrection. In the hope of overcoming death. And there are other places where David spoke of the resurrection. About how Christ would be raised. He spoke of how you would not allow your Holy One to see corruption. He's talking about the Christ, that promised gift that was to come. First, there are many. Isaiah details Christ's suffering, talks about His death and His burial. Micah specifies Bethlehem will be the place of His birth in Micah 5 and verse 2. No, see, this great gift wasn't going to be a secret, but you had to catch the hints. He just hinted about this and hinted about that and told this that was going to happen and that. But He didn't just say, okay, on such and such a date and such a year it's going to happen. But He just told them, this gift is coming, and this is what it's going to be like, and this is how you'll know this is the right gift. This is the one I'm talking about. And of course, we've mentioned already, the third point to some degree, that it was a perfect gift. Now, we talked about the fact that it was perfect in the sense that God had planned it, and He prepared it, and He knew just what everybody needed in that sense. But the gift itself was perfect. Have you ever bought a gift for somebody and wrapped it up and you know, pretty package, and then they unwrapped it and they opened it up and they pull it out of the box and it's broken? You ever had that happen? Man, what a disappointment. You picked out, I mean, you thought it was a perfect gift. And you get there and it doesn't work. It's broken. Well, Christ was not broken. He was perfect. 1 Peter 1 and 19 tells us that Jesus was offered as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I haven't seen a whole lot of sheep, but I imagine it'd be pretty hard to find a sheep that didn't have some sort of blemish on it. Something. I mean, just, it might just be a little freckle somewhere, but something not perfect about it. But Christ was perfect. Spotless. Now, we're not talking about His physical appearance. We're talking about sinless perfect. Spiritually perfect. That was the wonderful thing about it. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says, "And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal life, salvation unto all them that obey Him." Hebrews 5 and verse 9. The perfect gift. He was made perfect. God loved us, and He expressed that love in His gift, and He expressed it by the quality of the gift He gave. I mean, if you really love somebody, you're not going to give them a gift that's of inferior quality, are you? You're not going to give them the wilted dozen roses because you could get them $10 off. Well, they're droopy and, you know, they get, you know, the leaves are all turning brown and things. But you know, I saved $10, so here. No. If you love somebody, you're going to look at that. I don't want that one. That one's got one flower that's, you know, it's got petals falling out. Oh, no, this is the best one in the whole shop. I'm going to get this one. Because when we care, what's the saying? When you care enough to send the very best. Well, Jesus was the very best. And God cared enough to send the very best. Not only was it a perfect gift, but it was a priceless gift. You know, some of the best gifts that I've ever gotten were the ones that didn't cost a lot of money, but that were priceless. My two children, at the beginning of the school year, with the help of their mother, wrote me some cards. Just little cards of appreciation, thank you for being our daddy kind of cards. Now, that didn't cost, you know, a piece of paper costs a penny or two, you know. Not much. You know, a little bit of pencil or crayon, you know, it's not a lot of money involved there. But it's priceless. Because you can't buy something like that. That's priceless. Well, that's the thing about Jesus. He was a unique, one-of-a-kind gift. You can't get on eBay and find another gift like that. You're not going to be able to look in the classified ads of all the papers in the world and find a gift like that. I don't care how much you're willing to spend. Bill Gates couldn't afford to buy one.
That's the wonderful thing about it. Because even though the gift costs nothing, it costs so much you can't put a price tag on it. You know, some things that cost nothing because they're worthless. But that's not the case with this. This was a gift that was so valuable that you can't put a price tag on it. It was a unique gift. John 3:16 tells us about this gift. It was His only begotten Son. Now you see, if God had had two sons, then maybe He could have given one and then saved the other one to give another time. But because He only had one son, this was the only gift like this that could ever be given. Ever. I could give my son, and that'd be a pretty special gift. And somebody else could give their son. But you see, there's only one Father God. And Father God only has one Son. And so that gift could only ever be given one time. That's the only time, the only way that gift could ever be given. The gift was so unique because He was one of a kind. And because it was unique to each recipient. Each of us can receive that one gift. Now, there aren't a lot of gifts like that, are there? You ever gotten a gift that you got it and everybody else got it too? Gifts don't work like that. I mean, now you might get a box of chocolates and you can share them with everybody until you run out. But Christ is such a unique gift because everyone that ever has or ever will live on this earth can receive that gift. What a gift. No wonder Paul says it's unspeakable. Now, how do you put that into words? Billions of people can receive this one-of-a-kind gift, and yet you can't buy it. You can't find it. You can't give it to anybody else. But you can have it given to you by God. There was no other gift like it, of course. Moses, Elijah, Abraham. Oh, they were great men, but they weren't perfect. They couldn't be given the way Christ could. Peter, Paul, John, no. Wonderful men, did wonderful things, but couldn't be the gift that Christ was. When we give gifts today, we need to give things that are precious to us. God gave the best that He had. See, that's the kind of gift giver God is. That's the example that He set for us. You realize that each and every one of us has something that only we can give to God? You know what it is? Yourself. Nobody else in the world can give you to God. You've got to give yourself. He can't take you. That's not the same as a gift, is it? Only you can choose to give yourself to God. To give Him the best you have. Nobody else can cry it out to you. The elders can't force you to give the best you have to God. The preacher, no matter how much he preaches, can't preach you into giving what you the best you've got to God. You and you alone can make up your mind to give God the best you've got. Or you can decide, I'm going to skimp and I'm going to cheat and I'm going to give God less than my best. It's up to you, though. But God gave us the example. He gave the best He had. And then finally we see that it is a personal gift. Personal gift. You know, God didn't just give a stranger. God didn't even just give one of the angels that He had made. Or one of the human beings that He had made. God gave of Himself His own Son. nice person. You know, you see it sometimes in movies or something, you know, a rich executive too busy to take time to buy his wife a gift, so he sends his secretary to go get her something. That's not a personal gift. He might spend a lot of money on that gift, but, you know, or maybe he sends his wife or sends the secretary to go get a gift for his children. Or it may be a toy that they've always wanted. It may be the best toy on the market at the time, and they may like it, and they may enjoy it, and they may have cost a lot of money. But it wasn't personal. It wasn't special. Because it didn't really come from that person. You see, God could have done that. He could have hired some of the angels and said, y'all get a committee together over there and you figure out what kind of gift we can give the world. And then y'all fix it and y'all send it to them. And I'll pay for it, I'll take care of it, but God, y'all do it. And he didn't do that. He gave a personal gift. You know, the gifts that people make specially for us, those things that have that human touch, many times those are far more special to us than any other gift. Because they're personal. We know where they came from. You know, we got all sorts of wonderful gifts for the kids, and you know, what Abby's favorite gift that she got? We spent lots of money on all sorts of little toys and everything else for her, but her favorite gift probably cost about, I guess, maybe $4 or $5. But her favorite thing, it's a blanket her mom made for her by hand. And she wants to carry that blanket everywhere with her. You know, we have to cut them out. Leave it in bed. You know, but she loves that little blanket. She wants to carry it everywhere with her. Because it's special. Because it's personal. Because mommy made this blanket for me. Now, she's got lots of other blankets. And she likes some of them. One of them has Dora on it. She loves that. And one of them, you know, has pretty pink colors. And she loves that. But the one mommy made for her is personal. And we understand that. So when God gave us a gift, he expects us to give in return in that same way. He wants our gift to be from the heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7 mentions it being cheerful. Paul also talked to the Corinthians about those in Macedonia, and he said they first gave their own selves to the Lord. You know, if you give yourself to the Lord first, then whatever else you give him is going to be personal. It's going to be from the heart. Herein is love, 1 John 4:10 tells us. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, he put our well-being ahead of his own Son. That's a sacrifice. That's a gift. And how do we treat that gift? We treat it with reverence and respect. Do we return love because of that gift? Or do we treat that gift with contempt? Treat it like it's worthless and like we'd throw it away if we had the opportunity. I'll be honest with you, I have been given some gifts that are no longer in my house. I got rid of them. I throw them at the dog sale or threw them away or gave them away or whatever to anybody. I've gotten some gifts like that. I bet you have too. But do we treat God's gifts that way? How do we honor it and respect it? God gave the best he had. We need to respect it by giving him the best we have. If you're here this morning and you have not given yourself to God, you can do that this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to turn from your life of sin, to repent
change your life. If you're willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He is that perfect sacrifice that came and lived and died and rose again. If you're willing to confess Him, and then you're willing to submit yourself to be obedient to Him. You know, a lot of people preach about grace. A lot of people preach about mercy. But then they take the gift of Christ and treat it with contempt by not being willing to submit themselves to the will of God, by being obedient to Him. We must be willing to repent. We must be willing to confess Christ. And we must be willing to submit to God's command that we be baptized to wash our sins away. When we've done that, we can hear His family. We can take full advantage of the gift that Christ offers and receive those blessings that are only in Christ. You're here if you are a Christian, but perhaps you have not been respecting Christ and respecting God for the gift He gave. And we need to change that this morning altogether to stand and why we sin.